Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I've been fortunate to have lived in different places across the country. You could say fortunate, or also maybe it's like, man, I had to move a lot, and you know, never really got to spend too much time in one place. But for the sake of this purpose, let's just say I've been fortunate to live in different places across the country, and even more fortunate to be able to make it back home to Montana. But Victor Davis Hanson really nailed the big picture of what's happening in this country, the political shift that I think is happening in this country right now. I'll get to that here in a second. That's one big picture thing that I want to talk about. Basically, there was something he said about how black voters in Chicago, everyday black voters in Chicago, even inner city Chicago, they have more in common right now with you and me than they do with Oprah Winfrey. That was something that really stood out to me that Victor Davis Hanson was talking about, because I think he's exactly right. I think that what we're seeing taking place in America right now is you've got these elites, the testers, the Bidens, the Oprahs, the Hollywood celebrities, and the people in the, you know, some of these people in the university districts of Missoula and in Bozeman, and they live in their own little bubbles, and they live in their own little worlds, and they are more than happy with everything that is taking place in this country right now. And then there's the rest of us. There's the rest of us in Lodgegrass, and on the south side of Billings, and on the west end of Billings, and in inner city Chicago. All over this country, there are the rest of us that are completely outraged at what is taking place in this country right now. And the brazenness with which these elites are just committing this type of nonsense right in our faces. I mean, like John Tester voting for immediate dismissal of impeachment charges against Mayorkas earlier this week. He is laughing at you. He's doing it right in your face, which ties in with another big picture story. Did you guys see this story? Brett French had a report at 406 MT Sports. He's kind of like their outdoor writer. And he had a report. John Jackson shared this via Twitter. I just caught my eye just a few minutes ago. Wolves in Gardner, Montana, wolves completely devoured an elk. Rip this thing to pieces, to shreds. I mean, there is nothing left. You can see every bone that's left of that thing, right? Totally destroyed this elk, totally devoured this elk. Now you're thinking, well, yeah, wolves have been doing that they've been destroying elk populations for quite some time now. They did it on the high school football field in Gardner, Montana. And I just think that story is so, I'll share the headline with you here in a second. But basically, they destroyed this thing, they attacked this thing and ripped it to shreds on the high school football field. Anyway, like, the wolves don't even need to hide anymore. They don't need to be out, somewhere back in the wilderness devouring elk. They're doing it in front of you. They're doing it in front of your kids on their high school football field. How symbolic is that of what is taking place in America right now? You tell me. 294-0970.
Securing America.
Beginning Monday in the Indo-Pacific, more than 16,000 service members of the armed forces of the U.S. and Philippines will commence Balikatan 24.
This year will be the most complex Balikatan to date, including combined joint all-domain operations such as maritime security, air and missile defense, dynamic missile strikes, and cyber defense training.
Pentagon Press Secretary Major General Pat Ryder saying 16 other nations will participate or observe in the annual exercise with the Philippines, including Australia and, for the first time, France. Balikatan, meaning shoulder to shoulder, and the United States training partnership that dates back to 1991. The exercise as tensions grow in the Indo-Pacific between China and the Philippines. Last week, the president said the U.S. defense commitment to the Philippines is ironclad. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some clouds in portions of the area early today. Otherwise, looking at sunny skies developing with highs ranging from around 40 in Bozeman to the mid-40s in the Billings area. For tonight, we can expect clear skies with low temperatures in the upper teens in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings. And then for Saturday, with sunshine, high temperatures will stay up around the lower 50s across the region. This is weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, this is a really good point here. This message came in on our Montana Talks app. It was just as the show was about to wrap up yesterday. For those of you who, you know, you listen to the podcast and you listen to all 4 hours of this show, and then you're not listening live right now at 6:13 in the morning. It's the next hour in the podcast in your queue whenever you're catching up on the show. You might have the same question that AW in Bozeman had yesterday at the end of the 9 o'clock hour. We were talking about, you know, Liberal Senator John Tester in full support of this southern border invasion, and just brazenly votes to immediately dismiss impeachment charges against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. And AW in Bozeman made a really good point, because we had the phone lines open yesterday, meaning anybody can call in, right? He asked this question: why aren't there any Democrats calling in defending John Tester? That's a very good point. Very good question there by AW and Bozeman. Why were no? Because we know that Democrats will call in and defend this. They'll defend that. They'll eventually defend John Tester, but they won't defend his particular actions. What they will do is they will deflect. They will distract. They will talk about something else. They won't want to talk about his actual record and his actual votes. There's just a simple prediction for you there. All right, let's go to this story, though. No, this is some crazy photographs here. I shared the story via X, x.com/Aaron Flint. Hat tip to John Jackson, the Joker, from Twitter. That's where I first saw this story. Here's the headline at 4:06 MT Sports. Wolves kill and devour elk on Gardner School's football field. A wolf killed cow elk carcass was hauled off the Gardner Public Schools football field on April 12th. Just one of the unusual incidents that comes with having Yellowstone National Park as a neighbor. School superintendent and slash principal Jim Baldwin posted a photo on Facebook of a park ranger standing over the picked over elk carcass as it was being loaded onto a truck. Removal kept other scavengers from gathering. The 8 mile. One quick thought, Travis. You might want to shoot a note to the school superintendent there. Maybe see if you can get permission to grab that photograph. That'd be a cool little story to add. If you still got a story you got to do before the end of the week, anyway. Just thinking out loud here. Claim this story, because I think folks are going to want to see this one here. Anyway, the 8 mile pack was credited with the nighttime kill, leaving the site just before dawn. It is the largest pack in the park, featuring 6 adults and 15 yearlings. But we know that the wolves have just been destroying elk populations. We know that the wolves, it's really been a combination of factors at this point, right? We know the two things have taken place here. One, the wolves in the Yellowstone area, you know, have been destroying elk herds, destroying elk populations. They've been scaring wildlife out of the park. And then you've had another factor take place. Way too many bison in Yellowstone. Far too many. Far too many, right? So what ends up happening? They destroy the rangeland. Or let me put it another way for TikTok, youngsters who consume Chinese propaganda all day. In other words, too many bison in the park destroys the environment. So then what does it do? You push all of these populations out further into the area. And then that's why you'll see like a whole bunch of bison just hanging out on the airstrip outside of Gardner. That's why and so now you know you get wolves devouring an elk on the school football field, right? And so what they do is they end up destroying rangeland and the environment further outside of the park now as well. But see, the environmentalists don't care about the environment. They just want to blame climate change. They'll say, oh, yeah, the reason these animals are all out here, it's not because of the wolves. It's not because there's too many bison. It's climate change. See, they create a crisis, and then they want to capitalize off of it by just blame climate change, as usual. All right, let's see. We only got about a minute and a half before our next break, but Stephen Ballantyne is already on the phone lines. Steve, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. Well, the kangaroo court that's happening in New York. I don't know if you guys heard, but one of the jurors was announced. It was a guy who was announced last night that the judge had to send him home. It's a federal court, so it's a federal offense if you lie, okay? I have been on a court proceeding way back in the 90s. One of the questions they ask you if you've ever been arrested for any type of violations. Well, the judge had to send this guy home because he was arrested in the 90s for tearing down conservative election stuff, apparently, yeah, in the state of New York.
Yeah, he was working with Mayor Dinkins and tearing down Republican campaign signs, but he lied and said, oh, no, I'll be fair to Trump. I'll be fair to Trump.
Yeah.
It's a state court, though, not a federal court, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it doesn't matter, but he lied to the federal judge doing the federal judge lied to him on, oh, and I've never been arrested, but yet, you know, it's
brazen, right?
You know,
it's what we're seeing.
For it.
They don't care. They'll lie, cheat, and steal. They'll punch cops right in front of City Hall. The illegal aliens will. You know, like, they can do whatever the heck they want right now. This is Joe Biden and John Tester's America. The criminals are running rampant. The wolves are devouring everything in their path.
Democracy 24.
Ohio's deadline to certify presidential candidates for November's general election is August 7th, nearly 2 weeks before the Democratic National Convention, where President Biden is expected to be certified as the party's official 2024 nominee. Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose asking Democratic officials in a letter how they'll comply. The Biden campaign is calling for provisional certification. A rep explaining in a statement officials in the Buckeye State have the ability to grant this prior to the conclusion of presidential nominated conventions. Adding in 2020 alone, states like Alabama, Illinois, Montana, and Washington all allowed provisional certification for Democratic and Republican nominees. But LaRose and Ohio's Republican Attorney General Dave Yost's office have said this conflicts with the law. The Biden campaign can look to state lawmakers to make extensions. The state legislature has until May 9th to create an exception to the certification requirement. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, this week, the Public Lands Council and NCBA both held their legislative conferences in Washington, D.C. And yesterday, after months of comments and opposition by rural America, the BLM dropped the text of their conservation and landscape health rule. This morning, standing by to tell us more from our nation's capital is our network's Lane Nordland.
Russell, that's right. An issue we've been covering for months, the BLM's Conservation Landscape Health Rule. We've been waiting for it to drop. It dropped yesterday afternoon. Joining us this morning, Caitlin Glover at the National Public Lands Council. Caitlin, what's the reaction from the cattle and sheep producers that make up the Public Lands Council today?
Thanks so much, Lane. You know, we just finished up this week our legislative conference here in Washington, D.C., and so we had ample time to talk about a lot of these cattle and sheep producers' priorities. So when the final rule dropped yesterday, this public lands rule, formerly known as the Conservation and Landscape Health Rule, we were really prepared to really dig in, have those conversations with the BLM in real time, and that's going to continue to be ongoing. There are three different parts to this rule that we we evaluated when the proposed rule came out last year. You know, we're encouraged by certain pieces. It appears that the agency has evaluated some of the feedback that we gave them. But we have some remaining concerns. And so as we look to the next couple days, we're going to be looking at this pretty voluminous text, because when you're talking about land health and land management in the West, you're talking about direct effects, not only for cattle producers and sheep producers, but rural economies, rural communities, and really that Western way of life.
Well, again, Caitlin, we'll continue to track this developing story. Again, the text dropped late afternoon. We are still trying to digest it. Again, we'll have more here on the Western Ag Network. But from Washington, D.C., Russ, I'll send it back to you.
All right, thanks a lot, Lane. And we certainly do look forward to learning more about the rule's full text and its potential impact on our rural communities. In the meantime, you can read more about the BLM's final public lands rule by visiting us at westernegnetwork.com or checking us out on Facebook. Stay with us. We'll have more egg news right after this.
The slow cooker full of succulent beef has been simmering since you set it to low and walked out the door. As the hours roll on, it grows richer and more deeply infused with flavor. The instant you step back into your abode, the savory scent of the slow-cooked pot roast greets you. It smells like home. Beef, it's what's for dinner.
This message brought to you by the Montana Beef Council and your $1 per head beef checkoff.
Hello, I'm Chance Merrill, credit officer at Montana Livestock Ag Credit. Over the years, I've had many conversations with customers in their feed truck, in their kitchen, or out in the corrals. I've found there are a few things our borrowers enjoy most about Montana Livestock. They enjoy interest rates that put savings in their pocket, quick turnaround on loans, credit officers who grew up in ag, and service at their doorstep. If your outfit needs a change, please give me a call at 1-800-332-3405 or check us out on Facebook and Instagram.
Well, commodity groups have sent a letter to the U.S. International Trade Commission encouraging it to vote no in advancing a petition from Corteva. The petition asks ITC to place anti-dumping and countervailing duties on imports of the herbicide 2,4-D shipped from India and China. Now, the letter says if the case continues beyond the preliminary stage, farmers across the country could soon find it difficult to access critical supplies. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I was talking about this story. First off, thanks to Stephen Ballantyne for the phone call. That was great to hear from you. We've got phone lines open. If you got something you want to chat about real quick as well, 406-294-0970. We do have a nice, I say real quick, because we've got a very cool addition to our lineup here this morning. I see our producer Travis just confirmed Mark Lauder is going to join us here in about 10 minutes or so. Former special assistant to President Trump, now with the America First Policy Institute. Mark Lauder, yeah, he's going to be with us here in just a few minutes. We just confirmed that one for you, so stand by. Victor, but I was talking about this story about how, you know, these wolves just totally devoured an elk on the school football field in Gardner, Montana, and you can see the photographs of this as well, just how they devoured it. And just to me, that's symbolic of how the criminal illegal aliens are just committing brazen attacks right in front of everybody, just right in your face. Senate Democrats are continuing to support this open borders invasion. They're just mocking you right in front of your face. What about this story out of Chicago? There's this story, and, you know, let me do a little bit of a scene setter for you here. So I hope I'm not double tapping a Fox News story that might play once again here in about a minute, but that's okay. You need to hear it twice, even if it does. So listen to this story out of Chicago. Black voters in Chicago are ticked off at their liberal leadership there. Here's why.
Many of these folks are lifelong Democrats who are now actively working to shake up deep blue Chicago, specifically because of how the mayor and the governor have handled the migrant crisis, doling out more than $1 billion so far for that. And here they are warning the mayor and city council about transferring another $70 million from the city's rainy day fund to take care of the migrants.
We need that money in my neighborhood. We need that on my block.
Currently, state law does not allow voters to recall Chicago's mayor, but a new group wants to change that by getting a referendum on the ballot this November that would pave the way to voting Johnson out.
How much was that? Did you hear how much he said that they're giving to illegal aliens in the city of Chicago alone? Again, brazen. The brazen way that they are doing this stuff. They're just slapping people in the face. I mean, like the wolves devouring the elk on the school football field in Gardner. The Democrat leaders in cities like Chicago are just rubbing their own people's faces in it. Hey, yeah, we get it. Yeah, you're struggling right now because of the Biden tester inflation. You got crime. You got everything else. But no, we're going to give all of this money to illegal aliens. And screw you people of Chicago. They're just the brazenness. They're rubbing it in their faces, just like John Tester is rubbing it in your face while he continues to support the wide open southern border invasion right now. But anyway, VDH coming up after this.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Israel's limited military response to Iran's drone and missile attack last weekend targets an airbase in central Iran. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the United States was not involved in any offensive operation.
We're committed to Israel's security. We're also committed to de-escalating, to bring this tension to a close.
Fox confirms the Biden administration was notified before the strike. A package of foreign military aid bills advances through the House Rules Committee.
A series of Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan aid bills could be voted on separately by this weekend. That would total $95 billion if all are passed, with some Republicans pushing to kill a procedural vote known as the rule to keep it from even making it to the floor. Democrats are thinking about stepping in.
Fox's Ryan Smells in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, so that Chicago story that I just played for you about how the mayor there is under fire for giving all of this money to all these illegal aliens while the people of Chicago struggle, that was kind of the setup that Sean Hannity did, the preview of the conversation that Sean Hannity put together last night on his program as he was chatting with the great historian Victor Davis Hanson, who I believe is still with Stanford University. Listen to what Victor Davis Hanson had to say. I think this is also big picture what is going on in America right now.
Well, I think what we're watching is a historic change, really, in the political parties. This issue of an open border is an elite issue. The elites want it. They think they want 10 million constituents or bodies, basically, for big government and changing congressional districts. But the people don't want it, and they're trying to force it down their throat, just like the transgender issue, just like the climate change, just like the no bail. And the people who suffer are their supposed constituents. For every person that comes across that border, they're going to lose, if it's 10 million, they're going to lose 15 million voters. And they're not aware of it. They think they have a hold on it. But what's happening, Sean, is that those people in that room that are yelling at Mayor Johnson have more in common with people in East Palestine than they do Oprah Winfrey or Barack Obama. And people in East Palestine have more in common with those people in Chicago than they do Jeff Bezos or Mark Zuckerberg or the Bidens. And the same goes true for Mexican-American people in the Central Valley or the Rio Grande Valley. So if you can change that racial obsession and replace it with a shared class interest that says we're interested in our American constituencies. We don't like inflation. We want law and order. We want a border. We don't care about these other issues about banning natural gas. We don't want three bathrooms. We don't care about somebody in Mexico saying they have a right to come into Chicago and get ahead of us in line in the health center. This is a radical change, this idea of class affinities rather than the old tribalism.
I think he's exactly right. It's the elitists like Tester and Oprah Winfrey and Hollywood celebrities against the rest of us. Let me see here. Real quick. Let's talk real world stuff here. Some of you guys are getting ready. It's like, man, it's already almost May. You're wanting to get ready for summer. You're thinking, man, I want to slim down so I can fit into those golf pants, or I want to be able to do that hike a little faster than I did it last summer. I'm going to try to drop some pounds. Let me tell you the program that works. If you're looking to lose weight heading into summertime, not just because you want to look better, but you want to feel better, and you know how important it is to your health. You want to be around for your kids and grandkids. The program that works is Billings Last Diet. One of our listeners in Bozeman, he's already lost 85 pounds. His knees don't hurt anymore. He's going on walks with his wife now because his knees don't hurt. Billings Last Diet works at not just for people in Billings. They've got a remote option available for those of you outside of Billings now that's working. BillingsLastDiet.com. BillingsLastDiet.com. Check them out.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, always great to have Mark Lotter, former special assistant to President Trump, and now the America First Policy Institute Chief Communications Director. Always great to have Mark Lotter on the program with us. Got a chance to meet him and hear him speak in Bozeman a few years ago. Mark, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Aaron.
Well, you probably didn't hear me talk about this story, and you probably haven't seen this story, but there's this story out of Gardner, Montana, where wolves devoured an elk right on the school football field. And I've used that analogy to point out the brazenness. You know, they're doing it right out in the open. Right in front of our faces. And it's so symbolic to me of illegal aliens beating up cops in New York City, and also of these Senate Democrats. I mean, just the brazenness with which they're acting, where, hey, we're going to open the border and we don't care.
Yeah, you know, you really think about it, and if it weren't for double standards, Democrats wouldn't have standards at all. I remember Chuck Schumer standing in the well of the Senate in 2021 saying how the Senate had a responsibility, they owed it to the Constitution to have a trial and a vote on the impeachment of Donald Trump, even though he wasn't president anymore. And Republicans had talked about dismissing the charges, and he demanded no. He demanded no, but now that the wheels are flipped, he's in the majority, and it's a Democrat on trial. Now we're just going to brush that aside. And you think about it. I mean, John Tester voted basically to say the border is not open. It's not a problem for us, when all you have to do is open up your eyes and you see the crime that's happening. You see the 12 million. And I got to tell you something. I looked this up the other day. So in 3 years now, Joe Biden has allowed about 12 million people into our country illegally. 12 million. During the great migration of people coming from Europe and all across the world and migrating to the United States in the hope of freedom, about 12 million people signed the book, illegally immigrated here to our country through Ellis Island, built so many of those great immigrant communities in so many of our major cities. So in 60 years, we had 12 million people during what they called the Great Migration come to our country legally. And Joe Biden has allowed the same number of people in illegally in just 3 years.
It's crazy. Governor Gianforte, Montana's governor, made the point that this is over 10 times the population size of our state of Montana here, and geographically, we're fourth largest state in the country, and a population more than 10 times our size has come into this country illegally just under the last three or so years with Joe Biden and John Tester running this country. The brazenness, though, by John Tester to vote this way, knowing that the liberal media is never going to hold him accountable, and knowing that he's going to raise a boatload of money from his liberal, you know, coastal elite allies to come back. He'll then come back here to Montana and lie about it and say, oh, no, I'm working to secure the border.
Yeah, I mean, ask him why he didn't. I mean, it was more than a year ago that the House of Representatives passed what was called H.R. 2, which is a Secured Border Act. it was basically reinstating and codifying so many of the policies from the Trump administration that actually worked to close the border, to reduce illegal immigration. And it's been sitting there. Democrats haven't done anything with it. So whenever they talk about wanting to secure the border, you ask them, why aren't they passing the bill that the House passed more than a year ago? It shows that it's just a talking point for them. And they think that the American people are too stupid to realize what's going on right in front of their faces. And it's until we see things like the horrific murder of Lake and Riley or the crime that's taking place in so many areas of our country. And then I contrast that with the fact that, you know, in New York City, Donald Trump has been told, we're going to throw you in jail in Rikers Island if you go to your son's high school graduation. But illegal immigrants can beat up New York City police officers and get let out that same day and said, you can travel anywhere in the country you want to go.
What talk about just the unprecedented nature of this vote, this party line vote by Senate Democrats as well. I mean, you made the point that, look, as absurd and as nonsensical as the impeachments were against Donald J. Trump, they still actually had the process. They had a constitutional duty to carry out the process, right? And of course, charges eventually were dismissed against President Trump. But yet here we have an all-out invasion of this country taking place, and Mayorkas has lied about it. And yet these Democrat senators refused to even carry out their constitutional duty to hear the evidence and carry out the process, right?
Right. I mean, the so-called defenders of democracy have no problem shedding the Constitution, just shredding it up, as long as it's to get Trump. But when it goes the other way, you know, they turn a blind eye, they don't do their duty, and they're playing pure politics with this. And, you know, it just underscores the fact that whatever they say they support, you can pretty much just be guaranteed that they're doing the exact opposite when they're in Washington, D.C., and the only way we're going to change things, just trust me, when Donald Trump is reelected again in 200 days from today, and if there is a Democratic-controlled House, you know they're going to impeach him again, and Democrats in the minority then in the Senate are going to insist that we have a trial, that we do all of these things. And, you know, it again, double standards are the only standards that Democrats have.
That's right. And Mark Lauder, let me know if you got to run to your next hit time for another interview or appointment, because we gratefully appreciate your time here this morning. But, you know, I don't know how closely you're following the Senate race here in Montana. I know it's, you know, we see it as the most important Senate race in the country with liberal Senator John Tester and what he's doing to enable this open borders invasion and so much more. But you know, we've got the fake news Washington Post, who ran with Russia collusion hoax. You saw it from your perch in the White House, the fake news Washington Post. The fake news Washington Post keeps trying to do these attempted hit pieces against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, who's the Republican Senate candidate. And I think people are just seeing right through this stuff. They know they can't trust a word out of John Tester's mouth, and they certainly can't trust the fake news Washington Post.
No, I mean, you see them running for cover for all of these Democrats, including John Tester. I mean, there was a segment on one of the cable networks the other day talking about basically how people shouldn't be worried about the economy and inflation because it's not a real problem. I mean, I remember back in 1992, Bill Clinton basically ran on a I feel your pain campaign. Joe Biden's campaign and John Tester's campaign is you're an idiot if you think you have pain because it doesn't exist no matter what you see in front of your face.
Great point. Mark Lauder, I know you got to run here in a second, but any thoughts on just this absurd jury selection? I mean, you just can't help but laugh, even though we know that, you know, what a mess it's causing for our country. But I was watching Jesse Waters give a rundown of these jurors. And I mean, it's just a joke. It's a circus.
The whole thing is a joke. I mean, let's boil this down to what we're actually talking about here. We're talking about a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue, which should be dealt with as a misdemeanor, because it's way past the statute of limitations. But let's just say it didn't. So we're talking about a misdemeanor bookkeeping issue that they're trying to trump up to a felony over a federal election issue that the federal government didn't even charge. Jack Smith didn't charge it. The Federal Election Commission didn't charge it. The previous New York district attorney didn't charge it. So they're literally shredding the law, inventing new law, just trying to get Trump And then they'll try to find a jury in New York City that, you know, you can't throw a stone without hitting, you know, 10 out of 20, you know, 10 out of 10 Democrats to do whatever they can to get this man, because they know they can't beat him at the ballot box.
It's so crazy that one judge, one left-wing judge whose daughter is making millions off of liberal Senator John Tester and other Democrat campaigns, is holding, you know, a presidential candidate basically hostage right now and not allowing him to go on the campaign trail to battleground states. Mark Lauder, greatly appreciate your time. Anything else you wanted to share with our listeners?
No, just this is one of the most important times, and I do think you're right, Aaron. I think it's going to come down to Montana and whether we're going to get control of the Senate and be able to do the things that we need to do to get our economy back, to get our country back, and actually to put an end to what we see in crime, the wars going around the world. It's that important.
All right, Mark Lauder, former special assistant to President Trump, America First Policy Institute. Great to have you. Thanks again for your time. Mentioned a Navy SEAL veteran, Tim Sheehy. He was on Fox News talking about liberal Senator John Tester. Let's hear what he had to say.
Navy SEAL and U.S. Senate candidate for Montana, Tim Sheehy. Tim, good to see you. Thanks for being with us. I'm sure that in Montana, John Tester goes home and pretends to be a moderate Democrat. This vote that took place to not hold the trial with Mayorkas underscores the point that he's nothing like a moderate. He's everything but an extreme Democrat, correct?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's sneakier than Navy SEAL. He disappeared out of that chamber yesterday, you know, faster than I could have. It's pretty impressive. But you're absolutely right. This is the game that him and Chuck Schumer and Harry Reid before him have played for years here in Montana, which is brand John Tester's a common sense, center of the road, barely Democrat, who's basically a Republican. And the reality is he's very progressive, and his voting record shows that. D with the NRA. You know, 100% Planned Parenthood, and always in lockstep now with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer. And this vote, Montanans want border security. They voted for Trump in 2016 by 20 points. They want a secure border. They want safe streets. They want cheap gas. And these are things John Tester works every day to undermine. And this vote, once again, reinforces that.
All right, quick break back after this with the Family Foundation update.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now, how do we get 8 years out of when this all went down? We're now past the statute of limitations. The DA comes up with a convoluted legal theory about incorporating federal law to up what it would be in New York, a misdemeanor, into a felony. Only 35% of Americans believe that Donald Trump did anything illegal in this trial. I mean, it's just unbelievable. This is a threat. Bill Barr was right. This is a real threat to democracy. It really is. And Stephen A. Smith got it right, that he believes Democrats want Trump convicted in a hush money trial to avoid facing him in an election. That's a disaster.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, winter's officially left the building, so why not spring forward and freshen up your home with new premium window treatments from our friends at Blinds.com. Now, Blinds.com, they invented a better way to shop for stylish blinds and shades and shutters, even motorized options for your patio. Everything is 100% online. That means you never have to deal with an overpriced showroom or pushy commission salespeople in your home. You can do the measuring and installation yourself, or simply let Blinds.com and their pros handle it. Now, you can have multiple window coverings installed. And with Blinds.com, you always get free professional design experts. They will help you pick the perfect selection for you for free. They even send samples for free directly to you. Blinds.com's free shipping and, of course, the 100% satisfaction guarantee. No questions asked. Save up to 40% when you shop at Blinds.com for a limited time. Up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Getaway.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, studio. Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Decline to sign. If you guys missed David Noble in the House yesterday on the show, we were talking about this abortion ballot initiative that the Democrats are trying to push. Decline to sign. Check out that headline at MontanaTalks.com right now. Let's jump into the legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation.
Back in 2010, during the congressional debate on Obamacare, Nancy Pelosi, then Speaker of the U.S. House, famously said, quote, "We have to pass the bill so you can find out what's in it," end quote. Now, 14 years later, as Montanans are being asked to cement abortion rights into our state's constitution, supporters of Planned Parenthood are using the same twisted logic. With the help of the liberal majority on the Montana Supreme Court, Planned Parenthood was able to craft a ballot statement that hides the true ramifications of the amendment behind ambiguous terms and fluffy language that leaves voters in the dark. Heaven forbid we pass this thing before we find out what's actually in it. Right now, supporters of the amendment are in a race against the clock to gather the 60,000 signatures necessary to get the measure on the November ballot. That leaves us asking some serious questions. The proponents say the amendment simply secures reproductive rights, but it goes further than that, much further. Would people sign the petitions if they knew that the amendment allows abortions up to the moment of birth? Would they sign it if they knew that the legislature would no longer be able to place reasonable restrictions on abortion? Would they sign it if they knew that people other than doctors would be allowed to perform abortions? Would they sign it if they knew that young girls could be taken for an abortion by a third party without their parents' knowledge? And finally, would they sign it if they knew that parents could be criminally charged for interfering with a child who wants to undergo irreversible transgender surgery? These are the details being hidden from voters. Yesterday, during a legislative hearing on the amendment, witness after witness came forward to expose the truth. In fact, only one witness spoke in favor of the measure. None of the proponents were willing to stand before the committee and answer the tough questions. Ironically, a self-identified pro-choice abortion supporter testified against the amendment, saying that even though she's in favor of abortion, this amendment goes way too far. Will the supporters be able to gather enough signatures by the June 21st deadline? Only time will tell, but both sides agree that it's a heavy lift. Supporters must gather over 1,000 signatures every day for the next 60 days. Those opposed to the measure say the best way to kill it is to stop it from getting on the ballot in the first place. They call their effort Decline to Sign, and they're asking everyone to say no when approached by signature gatherers. They're also asking pastors and priests to encourage their congregations to decline to sign. Montana Family Foundation Chief Legal Counsel Derek A. Stryker assures members of the clergy that they can speak out against this measure from the pulpit without jeopardizing their church's tax-exempt status. In his words, it's time for the church to be bold. If this measure passes, it will be too late, and the hidden language of the amendment will place our kids at risk for generations to come. If you or your church would like to help stop this from happening, please call our office at 628-1141. That's 628-1141. Or go to the website at formontanafamilies.com. That's F-O-R, montanafamilies.com, to sign up and be a volunteer. As Edmund Burke once said, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. This amendment is pure evil, and it's time for good men and women to step up to the plate. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslaffy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, thanks to Jeff Laslaffy for that great update there and for encouraging people and pastors to speak up about this issue. On a related note, check out the dailycaller.com. Montana hit with lawsuit over sex change policy for birth certificates. The crazy, loony ACLU left is at it again. But they've got judges in their back pocket. So, again, that's why these Supreme Court races are so important this fall. Well, the mystery has been solved. They found out who is destroying the toilets, the fancy toilets, in Yellowstone National Park. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. You never know what we're going to talk about on this show. Of course, then and you have an elephant roaming the streets of Butte. Who saw that one coming? Hey, you never know what's going to happen on Montana Talks, because Montana Talks is the show where you get to talk. We keep the phone lines open for you, and you can be heard all across Montana. Catch us statewide Monday through Friday, 9 to 10.